I'm going to start on a light subject now. Diseases. That's interesting. Diseases and things, they often linger in the background, don't they, sometimes? And sometimes they sit in the background and we don't know that they're there until something happens and it comes along and it hits us. I met a guy the other week. I've actually known him for about 23 years, I think, something like that. And he had a stroke at Christmas, sadly. And I went to see him, see how he's doing, and he was doing quite well. But it turns out that he's got an irregular heartbeat. Okay, some medical stuff now, because all the medical people have left the room and that. Sorry, I just... irregular heartbeat. And as I know now, because I was told, an irregular heartbeat can give you sticky blood. Because your platelets, yeah, and your platelets, and that can go around and it can get caught into your brain. And it can give you a stroke. And he's got this. And he said, I might well have had this all my life. Doesn't know, just sat there in the background. Never knew it was there. He probably had it all his life because his mum and his dad both died from having a stroke. He's 62, I think. All of his life, sat there in the background, may never have known until the event over Christmas when he had that stroke. I've got something called celiac disease. I think a fair few of you know that. I've got a reaction in my gut. When I get gluten in my gut decides it doesn't like it. So it has an autoimmune reaction. Fancy words, isn't it? Used to see that on the programme House. Did you ever used to watch that? And you always used to go on about this as an autoimmune disease. I had no idea. I certainly didn't know that I had one as well, you see. And it sits there. I don't know. I've got no idea how long I've had this, but it sat there in the background, just slowly causing a few little problems and issues. And I didn't know until I went to the doctor about something else. And he said, oh, you've got celiacs. I said, very nice. What is it? I've got no idea. It just sits there in the background and you just don't know what's going on. And it gets worse because sometimes we find that society, things that go on around us are the same. There's kind of society diseases. I'm sure there's a fancy word for it I couldn't find. But we have these things that go on in society. They go round. And we don't realise that in society, things are getting worse and worse and worse until suddenly something happens and we go, ah. Ah. I'll give you some examples over history. Hitler convinced the German people to go to war. They all thought they were going in the right direction. Until that came, thankfully, to a halt. We're no good. The British people. Look how bad we treated African slaves in this country, in this city. Until it came to a halt. And we went, society is wrong. But they're all in the past, aren't they? But now, let's look at some other things. Somebody said to me in work, do you know what? I think we've lived in the most wasteful time in this world. We had all the luxuries. We've been able to just buy something and throw it out. Throw it away. We throw it in a landfill and that's fine, isn't it? Chuck all of our paper and everything away and that's fine. Until I think we're just about to realise that's probably a stupid thing to do. And now our children are going to be recycling and have a different way of living to that which we've wasted. And I think in years to come, we'll look back and go, oh yeah, I remember when my TV broke and I threw it in the bin. But now things are changing for us. And there's lots and lots of areas where things like that happen until an event comes along and says, stop and just have a realise what's going on. I looked at an article in the paper. It was in a number of the papers. I don't know if you saw it. It was from the Church of England. And they said something like this. The scale of the Church of England's atrophy, okay, I had to look that up. It means deterioration, decline, things are going worse, all right, has been starkly set out by figures presented to its General Assembly. Show Church's Assembly's attendance will continue to fall over the next 30 years. Previously, it thought it was going to decline, but it's got and it will recover in 5 years. But they've looked and they think things will continue to decline for 30 more years. Do you realise that you're more than likely to attend the Church of England church if you're over 81 than if you're 18? It's not very good. The solution in there is they're going to pump £72 million into regenerating the church, thinking where the church is going to go, and try and train people. Do you know, I think sometimes that we as a country, we are ill. But we don't always realise it, do we? We don't realise where we are. We don't realise as a nation where we are. And we're turning away from God. And I wonder if that's almost the disease of today. It's there. And that's not just as a nation. That's sometimes as us. You think you're going okay. I thought I knew Therese. I now know Sarah. It's crazy. I don't know what's going on in there. You know, that's great this morning. That's great. And sometimes we need something to come along and say, stop. Let's read out the start of our passage for this morning. So we're going through Mark. We're now in Mark in chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, Jesus calls Levi and eats with sinners. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came out to him. He began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. When Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. That's awesome. It's what we need. So let's have a little look. Let's have a look, I thought, this morning at some of the people and some of the things that are going on in this. And I searched and I found a real deep, good picture of Levi. This is Levi, as we see. We know he was a Lego character in there. I bluff for that. But I saw this picture and I thought, wow. Do you know, Levi is in this book. He's a sinner. Right, let's not flower this up. Let's not make it nice, right? Nobody liked this goat, this bloke, right? Not a nice person. He wasn't liked by his fellow people because he was a traitor. The Romans have come, they've invaded, they want taxes. They don't completely kind of destroy life, the Romans. They came in, they took over a place and said, look, you pay me taxes and we'll kind of look after you, actually, in certain circumstances. If you step over the law, we'll just crucify you. But that's the kind of way that they worked. But they needed somebody to collect the taxes. So who did that? They got people, their own people, and they turned them on their own people and they said, you can be a tax collector. Who would like that? The benefits to the job, well, they were all right, because you basically get as much money as you can out of the people and just give me what I'm due as a Roman. So the people didn't like him because these were traitors. They turned on them. Somebody here turning on and saying, I'm going to force money, not just get what you owe to the authorities, but at whatever I can get out of you, because then I can live off of that. That will be my lifestyle. And they didn't like him. The Romans didn't really like him either, because the Romans were generally quite strong people, characteristic-wise. They wouldn't betray their own country. So I can't really trust this person. He's betraying his own country people. Nobody really liked them. So they lived a life with what they call sinners. They live with the prostitutes, the robbers, the thieves. That's their life. That's the lifestyle that he's got. And he'd go out and he'd sit in his tax collection booth and he'd collect money, those were due, the money that was due to come in, and he would take it from his people. And people just didn't like him. Didn't associate with him. I mean, you know, there's not much about his life that really we would kind of look at. He's not the kind of person that I'd kind of go and have a look at. Not the sort of person you'd go and see. But I was thinking about this. You think it's easy to go, he's not worthy of Christ's love, is he? It's easy to think that. And I quite often think about that myself. I put myself in his shoes. I put myself in those shoes and think, there's no way that I am worthy of Christ's love. I do loads of things wrong, all the time, and I just can't stop. And that's the way I am. I try, but that's life. I do things wrong. I don't stand here as anybody who's any different, better by far than anyone. It just goes wrong all the time. I come away yesterday, oh, the kids were doing my head in. Oh, I had an hour sat in the car with James and Eva bouncing around the car. I just shouted at them at the end of the day, and you think, oh, why? It's just a nightmare, you know? And you're in work, I'm talking to someone, and they say something, you think, oh, there's an opportunity. I should have said this, that, and the other there as I'm walking away, and things like that all the time. And you think, oh, why do I always just seem to get it wrong? And that, it's just a nightmare. And that's Levi. I don't think he thought he was anything. Because in his life, everyone told him he was nothing. All of the time, everyone said, you're nothing. The people who gave him the money, he would take the money from, I'm pretty sure they said, you scum. There's the money. I know you're taking more. I don't really like you. Have it. The people he was with, really, because he had a lot of money, because he extorted it from everybody else, he kind of paid for these type of people to be around him. And everybody said, you're scum. The Pharisees who were around said, you're scum. It's not really going to put him in a very wholesome place, is it? But there was a difference with Levi. And there was one thing that was different with Levi. He was ready to listen. All he did was he was ready to listen, and he had faith. Jesus walked in. And Jesus walked in and said, follow me. It doesn't say Jesus walked in, preached for 2 hours, ate with him. Jesus walked in and said, you follow me. Now, what does it cost for Levi at that point? Did he have a choice? He did. He could have been like the man who said, I want to go and bury my father. I want to go and say goodbye to everyone. I want to go and change my life. He could have said, I need to think about this. I need to consider my options. I need to think about my career path. How am I going to be supported? Because the fact was, is if Levi left his post, that was it. He had nothing. Everything was gone from him. All of his possessions and everything, all these things would be taken away from him. He wouldn't carry on doing that job. He couldn't be trusted. How do you know he's just going to leave his post next time? So his choice was to leave it all. And he took that choice, and he acted immediately, straight away. He got up and he followed. He had no training. He hadn't been on a training course. He hadn't been on a Bible study theology course or anything. Any of that, he just left his post. He saw Jesus Christ and he followed him. Now, I suspect he knew who Jesus was. It doesn't say, but I suspect that's what he case. He knew him. He knew what he was about. He knew what was going on. But this was the time Jesus walked in and said, follow me. And he had to have complete trust in Jesus Christ. We quite often overthink things, don't we? We quite often think too much about these things. Is it blind faith? Maybe it is, but it's just trust in Jesus Christ. And that's all that Jesus wanted. He didn't want anything else. Jesus didn't say, great, thank you, you're now on my training scheme. Jesus took him and went with him. And he went with Levi back to his house, and he ate with Levi's friends, the sinners, the people that were bad, the people that nobody liked in that society, the people everybody looked down on. And Jesus went into that house. And he ate with them. And he took time with them. You see, Levi didn't even say, I'm going to follow you, let's go somewhere else. I don't want you to come back into my world, I want to leave that world. He said, no, come and come to my house, eat with me, eat with my friends, because they all need you as well. See, Jesus picked Levi, all that Levi had, was faith, and he said, yes, I'm willing to listen. That's all that it needed. He had faith in Jesus. You see, no one is too bad for God. No one. I do stuff wrong. We do things wrong in our lives. We don't feel worthy. But God doesn't care that we've got those things wrong. He cares for us. All he wants is us to listen and have faith. And that's all that Levi had here. He said, yep, I will follow. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever. It's not whoever the nice people. It's whoever. And all they have is faith. God wanted Levi. You may not know too much about Levi. Some of you may. I suspect most of you have heard of Matthew. Because Matthew wrote the first of the Gospels. Levi is Matthew. So Levi went from being a tax collector, a sinner, and through his life was changed and transformed, and wrote the Gospel of Matthew. That's how much God worked in his life and what he did for him. And I think that's quite amazing. And I'm thankful for that. Jesus. Sinners wanted, inquire within. Jesus went to Levi, didn't he? He went to Levi and went to see him. He didn't stand in the synagogues. Jesus went to the synagogues and said, I need to go and preach to those people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the synagogues in there, to the churches of the day. But at the end of the day, Jesus got up and went to the sinners. I emphasize again, no one liked these people. Everyone in society said, don't like them. They're not very good, are they? Can't do anything about them. Not as good as us. We'll come to the Pharisees in a minute. I was reading up on this and I read a passage. It said, the doctor went to the sick rather than the sick going to the doctor. This was an act of divine compassion. Jesus didn't stand there going, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. You have to come to me. He got up and he went to the people who needed him most. And like disease, I suspect until he got there, most of those people didn't know they were sick until he turned up and said, you are sick. I told a story a long, long time ago about a husband who took his wife to the hospital. While his wife was in the hospital being seen, a doctor walked up to the husband who was sat there. And he said, oh, who's sorting you out then? And the guy went, I don't know, what do you mean? There's nothing wrong, I'm all right, we're with my wife. So, oh no, you've got that mole on your head, let's get that off. Oh, right, sorry. He didn't know he was ill and had a big bad lump on his head all of the time. Until the doctor said, we need to go and fix that for you, sir. He said, well, you won't get out in the NHS now, would you? Sorry, in there. But there was no training scheme, as I said. There was no apprenticeship. There was no exams. There was no tests. The only thing that was required is faith. So when Jesus comes knocking, are we ready? Say yes, we're in. Everything else will be dealt with after. Just leave it to God and let him sort those things out through your life as things go on. As things get better in life, in there. And when you've got difficulties and we've got hard times, we learn to trust more in God and leave it with God. But all we need is faith in Jesus Christ. And everything else will be dealt with. The next thing I just think about Jesus is, he compromised his reputation for God's benefit. What do you think his reputation, Jesus' reputation was like when he went to see the sinners? Because to the world outside, it meant one thing. It meant he was a sinner as well. It meant that he was tainted, he was dirty. When the Pharisees kind of looked at him and said, you know, if he's with sinners, he's dirty, isn't he? He wasn't, because he was pure inside. But that's the world looked at him. And it challenged me, thinking, Is that what we do as Christians? Are we happy? Are we open to help people? Or do we sometimes think about what will it look like? What would I be like when I talk to these people, go and see these people, do this thing, whatever it is? Am I willing to compromise my reputation for God's benefit? Let's just read on. Jesus questioned about fasting. Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours aren't?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They can't. So long as they have with him, then with him. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will last. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will be pulled away, will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." I don't know if this means much to you, but I had to read it quite a few times, quite a few stuff to properly understand this, right? Get one thing. This is a direct assault on the Pharisees. This is not compromising. I've been given a copy of the CDs of David Suchet reading through the Bible. If you ever get to listen to it, it's great. Because, you know, he's an actor, David Suchet, and his way with language is much better than mine. I come from Bristol, I can't help it. It's just the way it is. And they're as good as it gets, to be honest. But, you know, you listen to things, you think, oh, wow. I've never heard that before. And do you know what? This is just straight Jesus going at them, right? The Pharisees are coming in. I want to picture the scene. The Pharisees are coming into Jesus saying, "Why don't you fast? Why aren't you fasting in there?" They'd have been kind of sat outside the house and they're criticizing Jesus. He's a sinner. He's with these sinners, people. He's with this Levi bloke and all these people. That's what he's like, okay? He's not a Pharisee. How can he be in charge of people? You see, that's what the Pharisees were like, right? Here's a picture of them. They look exactly like that, or they're actors. Okay, just give you an idea. But look at them, okay? They're not like my Lego man in there. Pharisees means separatists, right? It means they're separate. They kept themselves to one side. They kept themselves away from anyone who they didn't think followed their ways, who didn't follow their laws. If that's the case, their way of life is stay away. Keep out, sinners, you stay over there, and I'm better, I'm going to stick on this side. When they see Jesus going in, it's quite clear he's a sinner, and he's clearly not the person who he says he's going to be, because if he was that good, he'd be with us. Because we are the Pharisees, we're all right. That's what they would have thought. God's got a completely different way of looking at this. You see, he doesn't want to be separate from us, and he doesn't want us to be separate. He doesn't want to stand to one side. He wants to be included. He wants to be with us. He wants to be with us in church, in our home lives, in our work lives, and everything. That's what he wants to be. He wants to be there with us. So he came to make sure that we're included and we're all together. He wants us to experience who he is, what he is. He doesn't want Christians to stand on one side and tell them this is what you should be having, like the Pharisees were doing. Over there, you lot, this is what it's like. If you follow my laws and you live a good Christian life and you do this and that and the other, then you'll be able to experience what I've got. He doesn't want that. He wants to go to the people and show them and help them experience God's love. You see, what Jesus was saying in those passages is this. Pharisees, you're old, your clothes are rags, your dirty clothes. You think you're the way. What you don't realise is I, Jesus, am new. I'm a new piece of cloth. I'm bright, I'm shiny, okay? If I cut a patch out of me and stick it in you, it's just going to show up how dirty you are. That's what he's saying. It's not really very light and polite, is it? It's straight in there. Don't try and confine me to what you are like. The wine is saying, what you used to do is take wine and put it in skins, and you put new wine in the skins, and then it stretches, okay, and it gets to it stretches out. If you then go in, it dries then. If you then can put more new wine in it, it just splits and bursts. It can't cope. It's already stretched in there. Take Jesus and put him inside. Try and confine him. Try and kind of wrap him up in wineskins or with the Pharisees. Your legalistic way of life, I'll just burst out. And I'll destroy you, the skin, and I will just burst out. It's quite confrontational. It's quite clearly Jesus is saying, you've got your way, I'm going to burst out. You can't confine me. Try and stick me as part of your lot. I'm just going to show you up for being an old cloak. It's straight in there. It's only when you go through you realise how confrontational it is. I never realised. What a challenge. What a challenge Jesus was giving to these people. You see, their way of life, the Pharisees' way of life, was about setting laws, setting things, saying that this is how you should live your life. The Bible tells me this, and therefore that's how you should live your life. There's an example of when Jesus healed the man with the mat. And the Pharisees came along and said, not about good, you've been healed. Why are you carrying your mat? One of loads of laws that were set out. Yeah? Loads and loads of them. Do you know what I think about this? Look at these people. They look quite rich. And I think most of the Pharisees were. See, it's quite easy for a rich person to decide that you can't carry your mat. Because they'll leave it in their house, won't they? And they'll let their servants carry the mat to do the work, to do the things. They don't have to do it. So when they walk out of the house and everybody sees, they're all right, living all of the laws, or abiding by all the laws. If you're a poor person and you own two things, the cloak on your back and a mat, I think you're carrying your mat. Otherwise, on a Sunday, you can't get up and move anywhere. So the more laws the Pharisees set, the more they were able to separate themselves from these people who are sinners over here. And that's the way they lived their lives, more and more laws, that I think just kept them divided from these people over here that have no way of actually getting to Christ. I don't think they ever had any intention of helping these people. And Jesus came in and said, nah, I'm not having it. I came to save the sinners, for every single one of them and us. And all I need is faith. And that's how he set himself all out. Perhaps to pull some of these things together, I like pictures. We've got Levi in this story. He's one of the people in the story who was a sinner, whose life wasn't great. And there's Jesus, right in the middle of the story there. And there are the Pharisees. They're in the story as well. Sitting on the outside, looking in, throwing things, keeping themselves divided, saying they're better than everybody else. Levi joined Jesus. But what's going to happen? As time goes on, what's going to happen? You see, there's this disease thing that I started with that we don't always know is there. We don't always know is around the corner, is going to come, is going to get to us. But it's there. You can choose to believe me or not, but it is. It is there in lots of different ways in our society, in our lives and things, you see. And eventually, that disease will wipe things out. It leaves us with Jesus and the disease. It's death. The devil is there. And we have a choice. It is quite simple. We follow Jesus or we suffer from the disease. And we have to ask ourselves in life, Which one of these people, which bit of this story, where are we? I don't know. Where are we? Because the saving place is with Levi, with Matthew. Jesus took him. All he had was faith. When Jesus came knocking, he followed. Everything else gets sorted out in the circle. But Jesus came to save the sinners, to save all of us. For God so loved the world that he came for us. Lord, I'm going to thank you for this morning. I thank you for the songs that we sung. I thank you for this place that we can come, Lord. We pray for your help this morning. We thank you, Jesus, that Jesus came. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus came to us here to save us. I thank you for that. It's not about anything that we can do. But Lord, you've come to us to show that we can follow you. Help us in all of our lives to understand this, Lord. That it's all we need is trust. Amen.